This is Leafs Game Night on TSN 1050 and the Leafs Radio Network. The Leafs live here.
Hainsey backhands it down into the Winnipeg end. Puck along the board, centered in front, they score! Nazem Kadri! Head back of the net, Marner centers, and a shot, scores! Jake Gardner celebrates his 500th career game by tying the game! Tavares around back of the net. He and Hyman battle for it, it comes in front, the shot, scores! Tap it in! Holy mackerel, what a turn of events!
Yes, what a turn of events. 3-2, the Leafs prevail over the Winnipeg Jets. Those three goals happened 10 minutes, 42 seconds apart. The last two, 26 seconds apart. Jim Taddy and Greg Gilbert with you. Leafs Game Night live from Scotiabank Arena. That was inspirational, wasn't it, Gibby?
It was, and you know what? Even early in the third period, it looked like Winnipeg had the game in hand. But you have to give credit to the Leafs. They had pushback. We talked about that between the second and third. They played with desperation that period. Yes. They weren't happy with their game after 40 minutes, but they played with some desperation. And you know what? I think the speed finally caught up with Winnipeg. They've played four games in 6 nights. Leafs had a bit of a break. You know, they played Wednesday a couple days, and they played tonight. But you know what? Like I said, you got to hand it to the Leafs. They found a way. They weren't good for 40. Winnipeg dominated, but you know, the desperation and the speed, I think, finally took over.
They had a lot of pressure in the Winnipeg zone. I think that if you put highlights when you watch SportsCenter and you watch those highlights, those three goals are eerily similar.
Very much so. I mean, good work by Marner in behind for the first goal to Kadri. I mean, he just worked in behind the net, picked the pocket, and popped it out front. Kadri picked the far post, which is great to see. He's continuing his scoring abilities here and his streak. Hopefully that'll keep going. And it's pretty much all the goals formulated from behind Winnipeg's net.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know,
perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we were talking between the second and third period, it was a brick-by-brick process, and that's exactly what they did.
Oh, there's no two ways. But they had to do something in the third period, and I've said it enough, the desperation in their game compared to the first 40 was night and day.
Now, why is that? I mean, it's 50-50, right? I mean, part of it is the other team, but also it's them rising to the occasion.
Well, it is. There's no two ways about it. I mean, you're sitting in there after 40 minutes. You know you've had the game taken to you. The other team's pretty much dominating the majority of the game. And then you're coming into the third period going, you know what, we got to find a way to do something, boys. And, they started getting pucks in deeper. They really started jumping on the Winnipeg defensemen for sure, taking away time and space. Two of the goals were caused by turnovers, some bad mistakes forced by the pressure. And, that's the game. They took the game over. And I, like you said, Jimmy, I think the Winnipeg started to lose their legs a bit. And, once they tied it up, boy, they were treading water.
Post-game roundtable is brought to you by Subaru. Right now is the perfect time to fall for a Subaru. Visit your local Ontario Subaru dealer for great rates from 0.5%. Jim Ralph is with us. Ralphie, that was a comeback of, I'm not going to say of the ages, but it was fun to watch.
Well, I think there's other factors in it. Yeah. I mean, you're down 2-0. You lose Austin Matthews, so there's a big part of your offense gone. And it's in the second intermission, you're sitting there, and I'm sure Mike Babcock comes in and says, here's your adversity. It's early in the season. Winnipeg is the best offensive team in the third period in the National Hockey League. Many people think them to come out of the West to go to the Stanley Cup Finals. They had a great run last year. So what else do you want for a test to try to come back on that? And I think the other side of that was, and it was sort of a strange stat, that the Leafs, despite all their offense, in an eight-period span on home ice, scored one goal. And you're looking at this and you're saying, I don't know if I have any kind of answer for it, except they seem to be more relaxed on the road and they appear to be faster on the road. But I thought the great thing was all those one-on-one battles that they lost, and I know I just heard Gibby talk about it at the end of his comments, they turned it around. Yeah. Marner was a big part of it. Hyman was a part of it. Nazem Kadri had a strange night, and yet I thought he was one of the most noticeable Leafs all night as well.
You know what, Ralphie? We can talk about the team and the desperation, and you're bang on about everything. But I look at Mitch Marner, and it's almost like he picked his game up in the third period. And
absolutely.
It was like, you know what? if nobody else is going to do it, I'm going to do it.
And drew the penalty.
Absolutely.
In the third period.
Absolutely. And he said this year that he wanted to be more of a leader, and what a perfect example tonight with Matthews going out and Marlowe not, I don't want to say not playing up to par. He's working hard. Things just aren't going his way. But he probably looked around the room and just said, you know what, maybe it's my time. And I thought he was the best player on the ice.
Well, and I also thought that if you looked at the seven-game series against Boston last year, some of the guys that stood out that you said had some push to their game, had some aggression. I thought Marner was one of them. I thought Zach Hyman was one of them. When Kadri was in the lineup, despite the suspension, he still seemed to be a noticeable player. So those are the guys that essentially were the guys that led them in the third period, the guys when it comes to digging in and winning battles. And really, for the first 4 minutes, or first 40 minutes, I thought it looked like Winnipeg just manhandled Toronto.
Yeah,
I agree. Physically, they seemed to have that extra jump. And even when you see Tavares go off with Tyler Myers, you're saying, okay, there was a message here from Wednesday night to tonight. Maybe not on the chalkboard that we're going to go after him, but I think it was play heavy on them and be physical with some of the speed that the Leafs are going to throw at you. And Winnipeg was very successful doing that for 40 minutes.
Marner's second assist of the night, is 100th assist of his NHL career. You talked about the battle with adversity. So in the first 40 minutes, there's a lot of passes instead of shots. Those three goals are nice setups, but they're three rips.
Oh, yeah, the Kapanen one is... Yeah, if that was a video game, you'd be throwing the controller. Because you're going, how does that go in? And when you see that low-angle view of it, there's not much more room than the size of a puck. And even though you could see Kapanen, when you look at the delivery, you could see he is trying to elevate that short side. This isn't just, he chopped at it and it rode up on the blade of a stick. This was, he tries to do exactly what he did, which is duck it up under the crossbar. But there was still, I don't know from your vantage point, but from ours, we're looking at it saying, did that really go in? Yeah. Like there was there any room there for it to sneak in? And at first you thought maybe under the arm of Hellebuck or some sort of fluke. But for Kapanen, this was a major league snipe.
Got to be pretty impressed with his play. I mean, he's starting to show really what he can do, what he's capable of.
Yeah.
And, he was a little bit stifled playing on the fourth line in those situations, and he knew he had to not focus on the offense and just play defense. But now, granted, he's playing with some pretty darn good players. But I think this kid's found his home.
Yeah, and the fourth line, until the Matthews injury, again, had some chances.
Yeah.
They don't ever seem to hit the net. Ennis did get the one in Winnipeg.
Outside Ennis, that's why it might be fourth line.
Yeah, but I mean the amount of time that line goes out and plays a shift in the offensive zone.
Yeah.
Is scary, and I think if Josh Lewo ever got any confidence scoring goals, you thought the power play goal, the game winner in Washington in the third period, might have been the turning point, but you see there's still a little bit tentative around the net, but they get in on the forecheck, and they force the other team back on their heels, and they get a lot to the net, but right now, as we said, they don't seem to be able to get a lot of shots actually to the goaltender, and yet even you go to the Tyler Ennis goal in Winnipeg, Josh Lewo backs up the pinch in the defense, settles it down, throws it to the front of the net. So I think there are a lot of good things, but we know exactly what the talk is going to be about after this game.
Yeah, and that was a pretty hard hit.
Oh, yeah, no. I thought you were going to talk about Freddie Anderson's empty net chance. Now, you being the next goalie, stand behind the bench. What are you thinking when that happens?
No.
Standing behind the bench? Or in the end of it? Usually you would say with a two-goal lead, but I think part of it was for Anderson, he had the puck. He was already committed by standing there in front of his own crease with the puck on his stick.
He should have
He was in shooting position. So it was one of two things. You either abort mission and just drop on it, like your 7-year-old goalie in house league, and just fall down on it. Or, boom, get rid of it.
Yeah.
The good thing is, it was better that it went for icing than he flubs it up the middle and it's picked off.
Oh, they score. It's tied. Yeah.
And it goes back the other way. But I think it was just one of those things that I'm here, I'm sad, go. It's like the golf swing. What are you going to do? Step back? Yeah. No. you're gonna wind up.
Only Tiger pulls that one off.
This doesn't feel right through it. To do yes. it anyway.
But that Matthews hit, though, that was, you could feel that up here.
Yeah, and it was clean. It was shoulder to shoulder. And, you know, two big guys colliding. But I think where you were worried, I thought it was a heavier hit than the hit against the Islanders last year. It was Clutterbuck and I can't remember the other New York Islander collided with Matthews. In the third period of a game against the Islanders, it looked like a more solid, jarring hit. But it was directly from the side. So that leads you to believe it shouldn't be separated. You know, usually that's sort of a head-on or even from behind, a hit from behind. But it'll be interesting to see that, is it the same shoulder? Is it a bruise? Is it a separation? And what's the prognosis? Like we said, you know, there's nothing you can do but say that it was a clean hockey play, and it's unfortunate at this point.
Well, and you look for turning points, and obviously the goals have their own description, but, I mean, they were physically beat up after that, and they weathered the storm, so that's another plus to take out of this.
Oh, yeah. And then you almost wonder if Winnipeg was at the point, three games in four nights for them, they're all packed to go on the big jetliner to Finland after the game. You almost wonder if they got the... We got this in hand, boys. You know, this is done. And by the time the third period
started, it was
the wake-up call. But like I said, for the Leafs to be able to do it under the circumstances where there was a lot of adversity against a pretty good team. And I was actually disappointed in Winnipeg with the way Winnipeg started, because the times, there have been a lot of times over the years that the Leafs have been there, but it was almost like the old Chicago Stadium, Gibby, or the odd in Buffalo, where you wanted to hold on for the first 10 minutes.
Right.
The fans were right into it. They were booing every Leaf. I mean, Matthews had touched the puck, and they'd start the line, he's better chant. None of that. The game in Winnipeg on Wednesday night. So it was almost disappointing because you expected to see, okay, this is the team that might contend for Stanley Cup from the West. And it wasn't there. There was no energy in their game. There didn't seem to be any urgency. The fans weren't really into it. And it kind of left you curious. So I kind of liked the first 40 minutes. Even though Winnipeg dominated, I thought this is a better test for the Leafs, the way Winnipeg's playing tonight, than it was Wednesday.
Sure. At that point, it's only 2-0.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's, you know, and the other thing was Winnipeg's down 3-0 in the third period when there was that pushback and they got to within one.
Right.
So if you want to play with the big boys, you've got to kind of copy what has made them successful, too.
Freddie Anderson's had a great start. What's the difference for you?
I think he's had a great two or three weeks. I thought there were times early on that I personally think he's a bit of a slow starter. I think at one point, 11 out of 21 games he played in October with the Leafs, four goals against or more. So I thought there were some moments early on that there were some soft goals, the Malkin goal, but these two games, the back-to-back games against Winnipeg, I think were by far his best as a goaltender this season.
Ralphie, you know, saying that, do you think that the play in front of him has really helped him in that situation? Because they're cutting down shots against, they're cutting down grade A opportunities against. So you as a goalie, you obviously gain more confidence knowing the team in front of you, there's not going to be as many surprises as there was the previous year.
Yeah, and it does seem, I know they did have the one turnover on the Scheifele goal, but for the most part, Winnipeg didn't have a lot off the rush. I mean, there weren't a lot of three-on-twos or two-on-ones where the Leafs were able to just hold on. Even when the Leafs were down in the third period, they never really seemed to get caught back in their heels. So, yeah, I think from a goaltender standpoint, there's that, and there's the trust issue that if there is an on-man rush, I take the shot, you make sure the pass doesn't get through.
Right.
And when you have that perfect marriage in thinking and execution, it's a lot easier for a goaltender to say, I just have to square up and do my job and not try to be thinking two or three steps ahead.
I mean, they did have turnovers tonight, a lot of them.
Yeah.
The giveaways were what? They had 17, which they're not going to be happy about, but I know we said we'd trim that down.
Now, what did Winnipeg have for giveaways?
12. A lot of giveaways there.
It's like 29 total.
Yeah, good.
Oh, you are
and your
something.
Shoes are still on.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Your shoes are still on.
Admit it, for a moment you were impressed that I added on the five.
No, half a moment. Yeah, it wasn't a full moment. Having said that, even though they turned the puck over like that, it's not like it turned into an immediate shot. Some of it was bumbling around, and eventually it got out. It wasn't very pretty, but I guess it was kind of effective.
Yeah, there was. I found the Leaf defense had trouble at times with the forecheck, where guys go in the corner and turn and look up, and there's somebody coming, and there's somebody up the boards, and on the play where Marner drew the penalty in the third period, Morgan Riley had it in the far corner to the right of Freddie Anderson, looked up, and saw everything was being cut off along the boards, up the middle. He wires it around the boards to Marner, who takes it up ice, draws the penalty.
Let's go downstairs to Coach Babcock.
As early as you did, and then to see the way the guys rebounded in that third period with the final 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, the game, they were playing harder than us. You know, we'd beat them earlier in the week, and they were competing at a level that we weren't quite as competitive as them. We did some silly things, like their power play goal should have been down 200 feet. We toe-dragged it at our blue line with 2D active twice for two breakaways. Freddie stopped one, and Scheife scored on the other one. And then, you know, we made a decision to come out and play right in the third, and when we did that, we were fortunate to, in the end, get it to go your way. But it's a good win for our team. And anytime you get a real good team twice in a week and you can get it done, it's positive.
The early word announcement?
He's got a shoulder injury. They'll look at it on Monday, and we'll know more on Monday. He's not practicing tomorrow and won't be playing on, I think we play Monday, right? We won't be playing on Monday. And then... you know, we'll know more at that time. So we'll give you an update on Monday. He's not ready right away for sure.
Is there any greater concern, Mike, given he's had shoulder issues in the past?
No, it's not the same shoulder. It's not, you know, he did his work this summer, got way stronger, built muscle around his shoulder joints to protect himself. Sometimes things happen, but we do.
Any else, guys? Do you think getting Marner back to Calgary maybe gets you a little better?
Well, what we did is we just thought we didn't have any lines. We thought that Hyman and John could do whatever. We didn't have anything going. We needed a change. We knew that had worked in the past. It kind of gave us a matchup against Scheifele and free up Tavares' line a little bit. That's what we tried to do. No, we'll look at it here tomorrow. We'll look at the game and figure out what direction we're going to go.
What does it say about this team that you often give up the first goal but still find a way to come back and win?
I don't know if we've done that this year at home. Had we done it this year at home? I don't know if we had. Normally at home we tighten up when we've given up a goal. I didn't think that happened today. I thought we just got determined, which was nice. You know, I didn't think we came out and didn't play. I thought we were playing just fine. Everything was going good. The game was going good. Two good teams playing, and they scored on the power play. So I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about that. See you guys.
That is Coach Babcock after the 3-2 comeback win, all in the third period for the Leafs, the three goals over the Winnipeg Jets. You know, the game situation, and obviously the Matthews injury jump-started what he was doing there, but the game situation would have probably dictated some lineup changes. But, I mean, he literally put everybody in a blunder there, didn't he?
For a while, yeah, and then there started to be some consistency late, especially from about the 10-minute mark on in the third period. You kept seeing the same guys coming out. He was running two centermen for the most part. That would have been Kadri and obviously Tavares. And, you know, Lindholm filled in a little bit and Gauthier a little bit also. But for the most part, he was trying to run his big guns. He was trying to get back in the hockey game and, you know, Mitch Marner stepped up to the plate and created some havoc in the offensive zone, set up two of the goals, all from behind the net just from a good strong forecheck and bad turnovers by Winnipeg. So as a coach, you've got to find something. And as the momentum started to change in the third period, you're standing behind the bench and you're seeing it. Like you're seeing, okay, who's on the ice? What's the combination I got here? Okay, I got to keep that combination together because they're starting to work together. So you build from there and obviously did a great job, had the right people in place, and they found a way to pull it out.
I just really like how those three goals were scored. I mean, you want to talk about really hard hockey plays and basic hockey plays. You create the turnover, quick pass, quick shot, boom, it's in the net.
And that's the way the game has to be played, and that's, you know, credit to the forecheck and the guys that were in on the forecheck and finishing checks and pressuring, taking away time and space, and two bad turnovers, actually three bad turnovers, by Winnipeg ended up in the back of their net. And that's what you try to do on a forecheck, is you put pressure on the opposition defenseman, put them into a situation where they start to panic, make bad decisions. And in those three cases, they did. Turned over, boom, back of the net it goes.
Nice to see Jay Gardner get a goal in his 500th game. He tied it at 16:49 of the third period, again set up by Marner.
And it was a rocket.
Yes.
Connor Hellebuck didn't have much of an opportunity, kind of like Kapanen's. And it's funny, they're both going over the same shoulder, glove side, high, right by the ears. And that's where the goalies want, you know.
Well, that's what they give you. It's not much.
That's what they give you. Jimmy, yeah. And, you know, Ralphie always says, you know, everybody's a butterfly goalie now, and they're playing the averages. Well, these guys are shooting so well now, the averages are getting pretty low for goaltenders. And, I mean, you look at the goal Kapanen scored tonight, and then everybody's seen the backhand shot that Crosby put over Mike Smith's short side high shoulder. It's the exact same spot.
Yeah.
That's the only spot there. That's where guys practice shooting every day. And Kapanen tonight, Gardner tonight, identical spots. A little more space for Gartner, but they found mesh.
Well, when you think of it, the butterfly goaltending has been around for decades, and why wouldn't people start to shoot high? I mean, that's what's open.
Well, it is, but don't forget that, you know, it has been around for a while, but back when it started, the goalies weren't down on one knee giving away the top side
on
the short side.
Yeah.
You know, they're up against the post taking that away and trusting the defenseman to take away anything on the backside. And in the old days, guys wouldn't be able to score from there because they'd be standing up, hitting him in the chest. Now they're down, and they're putting it right by the ear.
I mean, this is all based on percentages, right?
It is. And like I go back to what I just said, Jimmy, you know, Ralphie, that's what he says. They want to play the percentages. They think the more net they cover, the better the percentages are for the goaltender. But obviously when you get in sharpshooters like you have today, I think those percentages are going down, and you might see a bit of a change down the road.
Yes, the percentages are great unless they shoot high.
Unless they shoot high, yeah. Oh, and by the way, you might want some bigger ear caps.
3-2, the Toronto Maple Leafs win over the Winnipeg Jets. I should tell our network operators the out time tonight is 10:46. This is Leafs Game Night, TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Coach A will take the draw with Brian Little just to finish this off. And they win the draw. And there is the horn that ends the game. As of Kadri, Jake Gardner and Kasperi Kapanen score the goals in the third period as the Leafs come off the mat and erase a 2-0 Winnipeg lead and win the game 3-2.
And by my unofficial count, 10:42, the time lapse between the first goal and the last goal as the Leafs really generated a lot of offense. Mitch Marner had two assists. The second one is 100th in his NHL career, of course, all with the Leafs. And I'm just looking for Mitch Marner's line on the night. And he was good for 20 minutes and 26 seconds, a plus one with the two assists, and a pretty good night. He was judged to be in the building, the second star of the night. Here's what he offered up post-game.
Was there a point in time in terms of team resilience, given what happened in Boston, the way these guys were pushing you physically, that you guys decided to want to come back with some pushback of your own?
I think we just came here after a second knowing that we haven't been playing the game we wanted to. We knew we needed to get the pucks in. We needed to be quicker on our feet. I think in the third we did that. We made it easy for our D to break out again, and that was our main focus. I think when we're doing that, that's when we get at our best.
Sort of emotional toll initially when Austin leaves the game, is it for the team?
It's tough. He's a big part of his team. Everyone knows that. He's a needed player on this team. So hopefully we get him back soon. You know, haven't really heard anything. Obviously, we just got off the ice. So hopefully it's not bad news. But he's a big part of this team. We all know it. I'm sure he's, you know, just wants to get back out there as well.
Some chemistry with Noah's left over from last year there on that.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, playing with those two guys last year, we had good chemistry. I knew Nazzy was kind of coming to the net there. He was talking to me a little bit. I knew kind of throughout that second and third period that I was telling everyone that was the play. That when we get to that post, kind of look out front, get a guy going to the net. And, told Nazzy going into the third, and luckily enough, it worked out.
What was it like in here between the two periods, Mitch? Was it loud? Was it quiet? What was it?
I mean, I think we're a pretty calm group in here. I think quarter going into the third, we came in here, we were talking to each other and doing, we knew what we needed to do to win this game. We knew how hard we needed to work to win this game and how we needed to make sure we pushed back. I think when we started doing that, that's when we got the results.
Two games against the same team in 4 days, that produced the edge we saw here tonight, do you think?
Definitely, yeah. It's I think when you play a team like that two times in a row, it's a physical matchup, definitely that second time. We knew that coming into the game. Like I said, I think at the start we weren't playing fast. We were getting pushed off pucks easy. I think in that third we came out, played the game we wanted to from the start of the third, and we got the result we wanted.
When there is injuries on this team, do you feel you guys have the talent now that the instant chemistry like tonight can be produced?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we all want. We all want when someone goes down to step up and take that spot and make sure that we're all working harder to fill that void. But obviously that player that went out, it's hard to match someone like him. So I think as a team, we just got to play together. Like I said, we knew what we needed to do going into the third. I think we came out, we did what we needed to, and we got the result we needed, obviously.
That is Mitch Marner postgame. Kasperi Kapanen got the eventual game-winning goal at 17:15, which is 26 seconds after Jake Gardner had tied the game at 2. That's his sixth of the season. And, Gibby, Kasperi Kapanen shows you something pretty well every night, doesn't he?
He does. And the great thing about it, Jim, is he doesn't change how he plays. He plays the same way shift after shift. If it's a forechecking shift, he's in there, he's banging bodies, he's trying to create the turnovers. If it's an offensive opportunity, he's starting to show his capabilities of finishing off those plays. And like I said, I think he's found a home on that right side with the Matthews line. And, you know, you just talk about it. Like, we watched him last year, and I don't want to say he was stifled a little bit on that fourth line and you know, the limited minutes and what have you. And it's part of the process that young players go through. But now you're seeing he's getting that opportunity. He's making the most of it. And I think he's only going to get better from here on in.
You know, if you can play in that fourth line and tone up your game, as Mitch Marner did and as Kapanen did, and then contribute like this, as they both did tonight, that's really impressive.
Well, there's no two ways about it, and you've seen Mitch Marner take off, and just me personally, and I know there's a lot of people out there that would you know, think differently, which is you're right, but I think right now Mitch Marner is the best player in the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that. I mean, he dug in tonight when the team needed him.
He dug in the playoffs last year. He dug in tonight. He's always playing the same way. He's not the biggest guy. He's winning battles when he has to. He's setting up the plays, creating offensive opportunities, and he's trying to do his best defensively. And I haven't noticed him standing out negatively on the defensive side of the game. And he just plays like he wants to be an influential player or a force or have something to do with the outcome of a game. And tonight, obviously, I thought he was the best player on the ice.
Well, and depending on your vintage, I mean, if you want to go back and leave history, you remember a guy named Doug Gilmore that would do that on a nightly basis, and it ripples through the roster.
Yep. Yeah, Gilly had a little more bite to his game, you know, a little back then when you can get away with the slashes and those little things, but yeah, very, very good comparison. I mean, they're not the biggest guys in the world, but they compete their backsides off and they play to win.
Kasperi Kapanen with the game-winning goal. Here's what he offered up post-game.
You've had a penchant for scoring some big goals. How do you describe this one, albeit very early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in the third period we started pushing a little more, and you know, Mitchie and Nazi and their line got us going, got that first goal, and we tied it up, and, you know, that shift with, you know, Himes and Johnny, they were doing some good work behind the net, and, you know, it just popped out to me, and lucky enough, you know, I was able to put it in.
What did you see on the shot? Did you see the slight little opening there?
To be honest, I didn't really see anything. You know, I just saw the puck kind of come towards me, and, you know, I thought I should shoot on net, and, yeah, like I said, I didn't really see where it went, but no, I'm glad that it went in.
What was it like when Austin went out, and how did you guys kind of recruit?
Well, obviously, you never want to see a teammate, you know, leave the game, and you know, I think that second period just for us was a little sloppy, and we weren't at our best, but you know, we came in here, we regrouped, and you know, we played a good third.
You come in here and regroup. Is it somebody speaking up? Is it just guys talking together? What's it like?
Yeah, I think it's just multiple guys, you know, just kind of talking and encouraging us to, you know, stick to the game plan, and I think that's what we did. And you know, we got a lot of you know, veteran guys in here and younger guys that are vocal, so I think that's what got us going.
Did you have a good vantage point of the collision from where you were on the ice at the time?
I don't believe I was on the ice at that time, but I didn't really see it happen.
It's the key to this club in terms of matching up against physical teams like we saw with Washington and now Winnipeg back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, I think teams are going to try to come and try to bully us and be physical with us. But at the same time, I think, you know, we just do the work and we play hard and play our own game. I don't think that really matters. I mean, they can you know, be physical all they want. We got big guys that can hit as well. And you know, I think we handled it well today.
What's the best way to combat that? Is there speed that you guys have?
Yeah, yeah, and just stick to the structure. I don't think in the second period we you know, we weren't doing exactly what we needed to do. And you know, like I said in the third, I think you know, we just started playing our game and you know, good things start happening.
That is Kasperi Kapanen after the 3-2 win, and of course he got the game-winning goal. I should tell you, TSN 1050's Leafs Win You Win is back, and it's back in a big way. This time you have a chance to see the Leafs in Vegas, and here's how it works. Enter up to once per day at tsn1050.ca. If the Leafs win tonight, yes, Guy, that happened. Get up tomorrow morning, actually Monday morning, for First Up with Landsberg and Koliakovo. If they say your name during the show, you have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call in. Beat the clock. You'll be headed to Vegas for 3 nights with travel provided by TripCentral.ca. When the Leafs win, you win on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here. You all right, Guy?
I'm fine. I'm starting to worry a bit about you.
Nothing to worry about. What's the TSN turning point would be?
Honestly, I think it was a tying goal. We could say it was the first one, but they still had some ground to cover. I think it was a tying goal. I think that really put Winnipeg back on their heels.
They never recovered from that, that's for sure.
No, they did not. And you could see after the first one, Winnipeg tried to come back and have a little bit more of a push, play some more time in the Toronto zone. But once that second goal went in, you could see the wind pretty much go right out of their sails.
TSN Turning Point is brought to you by Oil Changers. Change your oil in 9 minutes or less. No appointment needed. Visit oilchangers.ca. When we come back, we'll hear from Nazem Kadri. This is Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, tsn1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.
Leafs surge in the third. I'm Mike DiStefano, the TSN 1050 Sports Center update.
Fed back of the net, Marner centers, and a shot! Scores! Jake Gardner celebrates his 500th career game by tying the game!
Joe Bowen on the call, Gardner with a gift from the hockey gods to tie it up. Then Kasperi Kapanen scored the go-ahead goal 26 seconds later. Leafs come back to win it 3-2 over the Jets. But the Leafs did suffer a large loss en route to the victory. Auston Matthews left the game in the second with a shoulder injury, and coach Mike Babcock says he will not play Monday against Calgary. World Series action, the Dodgers with a monster sixth inning on the back of Yasiel Puig's 2-out, 3-run jack to left. L.A. up 4-0 to start the seventh. Now back to Taddy and Gibby for Leafs postgame coverage on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
First Up with Michael Landsberg and former Leaf Carlo Koliakovo. Every weekday morning from 6 to 10 on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
The draw outside the blue line. Laid back on the right wing side, and Hainsey backhands it down into the Winnipeg end. Puck along the board, centered in front, they score! Nazem Kadri gets a centering pass and snaps it in behind Hellebuck, and the Leafs are on the board. They've cut the margin to 2-1.
Yes, that happens at 6:33 of the third period and starts the tumble for the Jets and the ascension for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was the so you're saying we have a chance goal.
Absolutely. And I thought, I you know, from that moment on, and even prior to that, you can see the Leafs starting to, you know, gain a little ground, like fight back, start to put a little more pressure on Winnipeg. And that goal just it was the tip of the iceberg, to be quite honest with you. It started the ball rolling for Toronto, gave them more confidence, and obviously put Winnipeg on their heels.
And for Kadri, who was having an interesting night before that, goals in consecutive games.
Oh, he's hot.
Yeah, well,
he's hot.
That's what sticks to the score sheet, right?
Absolutely. But you know, the great thing is now he's starting to feel a little more confident when he's shooting the puck. And you know, the goal the other night, like we talked about at pregame, Jim, it's short side on Hellebuck. Hellebuck should have it, but you stick to the basics, hit the net, make the goalie make the mistake. And tonight, Hellebuck had no opportunity on that shot. I thought it was low, hard, low blocker, just above the pad, just inside the far post, and not many goalies are going to stop that. So that's a great sign. Hopefully, he's gaining more confidence with that.
Postgame, Nazem Kadri.
You guys expected as a hockey club to come up with here tonight?
Yeah. I mean, that's, I think the good thing about this group is we never feel like we're down and out. I mean, they had most of the momentum, but we just needed an early start and a couple good shifts to start that third period. And we scored first, and that got the ball rolling.
What was the feeling on the bench when Austin went down?
I wasn't even quite sure it happened towards until we got a power play and I realized he wasn't out there. So obviously a big part of our team and hopefully it's not severe, but you know, everyone did a good job picking up the slack, and you know, that was one of the best wins I've ever seen.
He missed 20 games last year. How would you describe what it was like trying to cope without him? Like, what was the biggest challenge in that?
Well, I mean, he's just one of a kind player. It's hard to fill that void. But like I said, I mean, I don't think you rely on one specific guy. We've been talking about, you know, depth for 10 months here with this group. And, you know, this is a time where it really showed, especially down the stretch of this game. And just a resilient win. Always believed and had a couple guys step up. Freddie shut the door and we were able to capitalize.
Do you anticipate a greater responsibility than as if he's out for a bit possibly?
Of course. I mean, I don't think it's not only myself, but it's you know, it's everybody else. I think, you know, collectively, like I said, you know, we're a tight-knit group. We understand that, you know, he's a special talent that went down, but at the same time, we got a lot of good players in here that can play well together and step up and meet the challenge.
Feel some chemistry with your old line mates, you know, Mitch and Patrick?
Yeah, I feel like we didn't skip a beat. It was actually very nice. You know, as soon as that line was put together, we were just... We came every shift, so, you know, they're great guys to play with. You know, Patty's got the speed and hustle, and Mitch, obviously, you know, exceptional playmaker. It's just very easy for me to get open and receive the puck. I just got to be ready to score.
Did you see back-to-back games with the same teams? How would you describe the physicality, the emotion of this game?
It definitely got a little chippier today, as expected. I mean, it's a mini-series in the start of the season. I think both teams are trying to establish a rhythm, and we went in their building and beat them, and you know, they were obviously probably not too impressed with that. They wanted to really step on the gas here, and I felt like they did a good job throughout most of the game, but you know, towards the end we just capitalized on some chances, and you know, that's all it took.
You've scored in each of the last two games now. Is it purely just as simple as the fact that they're going in the net? Did you feel as confident the first nine games, or is it something different now?
Yeah, I mean, you guys were the only ones that were worried. I honestly really wasn't that frustrated because I understood that, you know, this is how it's going to be. I stayed positive. I work hard in practice. You know, I got very supportive teammates, so I understood that as long as I kept playing the way I was playing, it felt like I was making plays. They're going to bounce my way eventually, and you know, now they're starting to.
You mentioned in your first answer how this was quite the win. What was it like in the third period, the way you were playing, the atmosphere in the building? How would you describe it?
It was unbelievable. It was electric. After that first goal, I mean, I don't think, you know, one fan sat down in their seat for the rest of the game. So, you know, that's what we want to try to build, you know, in this building, is just, you know, an electric building and a rowdy building to come in. And obviously we, you know, didn't generate a whole lot through the first half of the game, but, you know, we kept ourselves in it, made a couple mistakes, but we're able to regroup.
Nazem Kadri after the 3-2 win. We were talking about Mitch Marner earlier, 100 assists with the NHL's Toronto Maple Leafs. And among players to debut with the Maple Leaf franchise, only three required fewer games than Mitch Marner's 170 to get to the 100 assists, which is rather impressive when you think of it. So this goes way back in Leaf history. 166 games for Syl Apps, 163 for Joe Primo, 148 for Gus Bodner. That is really wow. Select company.
Absolutely. It only took me 15 years to get my 100th. No, I'm just kidding.
That's the people you were playing with. They're
but
stiffs.
That is amazing. But you know what? You have to look at the game now, too. It's a fast offensive style game. And, you know, when you're getting the opportunities in the power play and you have that sixth sense that Mitch has, it's not surprising he picked up 100 that quick.
I mean, you know, I made the comparison to Gilmore earlier, and I think probably the thing that carries forward for both of them is if you could find a player with that heart.
Absolutely.
That is special.
Absolutely, and it's a hard thing to measure. I mean, you can sit and watch players play at one level, and they play that way, but when they get to the next level and they're playing against bigger, stronger players, it's not so much the heart, but the willingness to go to those dirty areas and tough areas and do what needs to be done to win and help win and contribute to that success. So, you know, the two guys, and you're looking at Mitch Marner now, he's not the biggest guy and he gets knocked on his backside. He gets right up and goes right back at it. I'm not going to say he's a pit bull because he doesn't have a big bite, but he's not going to quit, that's for sure.
He's going to bounce back, and that, you know, when you deliver the hit, you think he's finished. No, you just woke him up.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what he needs some nights, is to
I know working with you, I mean, you, then we'll just leave that alone.
Never mind, yeah.
You know, you don't want to analyze a win, but there are some numbers. I mean, the 17 giveaways was tough.
Yeah, and you said they were going to cut it down.
They had 6 in Winnipeg. They had 17 tonight in their own building. So aside from the giveaway issue, they seem to play differently on the road than they do at home. Why, and that's not the first time a team's had that issue. What is that?
Well, you know, there's everybody knows that whenever you're playing at home, you try to put on a bit more of a show, and usually it backfires. And the good teams, what they do is they can play on the road, they can play at home, and you can't notice any kind of difference.
It should be the same game, right?
Absolutely, in their game. They'll play a defensive game at home as well as on the road. And like everybody says, well, you got to play a good road game, you got to play a good home game, and that's what the successful teams do.
And I think, you know, Winnipeg had the good road game for the first 40 minutes.
They did. They did, and I think there's a lot of dynamics that come into play there. Leafs had a good pushback. They played with a lot more desperation, like I said earlier, and I think the speed of the Leafs over the course of the game started to catch up with Winnipeg in the third period, and you can see they were getting on their heels a little bit, making some bad plays. Leafs were up-tempoing their game. And, you know, creating the turnovers, getting those opportunities. So, you know, credit to the Leafs for staying with it and pushing and rising to the occasion in the third period. And it could have been perfect timing for the Leafs, the perfect storm for Winnipeg, though, is they were tired, Leafs caught up with them and found a way to come out with the 2 points.
So the Austin Matthews departure, it's already been confirmed he won't be playing Monday night against Calgary. How do you get around that?
Well, you're going to have to come up with some combinations. Obviously, somebody's going to have to step in. Andreas Johnsson's got to be ready to step in and you know, assume a role on that team. Now, whether it's Tyler Ennis that moves up to one of the higher lines, maybe with Kadri, somebody slips into the middle, maybe Patrick Marleau slides into the middle. We'll have to see. But there will be, obviously, key player out of the lineup for that night. There's going to be some adjustments and some massaging the lines going into Monday.
And again, back to the giveaways or turnovers, that's a big number. And, you know, it's sort of the game was in a fractured state because Austin Matthews goes out. But, I mean, what did you notice in terms of the turnovers?
Early in the game, what the Leafs were doing to Winnipeg in the third period is what Winnipeg was doing to the Leafs in the first two. They were putting pucks to space where the Leaf defense really couldn't get at it quickly. And by the time they did, there was already somebody on them. Started to panic, throw pucks away in the defensive zone, and giving Winnipeg those opportunities. And you know, Freddie Anderson played well again tonight. He gave them the opportunity to win, made some big saves. You know, kept them in the game, and it's a team effort. He did his job, and the guys in front of him found a way to get theirs done.
So I mean, it really tracked like the Pittsburgh game for the first 40 minutes. They got a power play goal that where the guy was wide open, and they seemed to sort of really manage the game. The Jets did in terms of just sort of taking the Leafs out of their element and not giving them anything. And then the Scheifele goal was a gift goal because it was a turnover at the other blue line, and it was a breakaway. So, I mean, they did all that right, and the Leafs still didn't really fight through that until, I don't want to say until the Jets got tired, but, you know, it was a factor.
It was, and there's no two ways about it. But, you know, Leafs worked for their breaks, and they got a break on the first goal. You know, bad play in behind the net by the Winnipeg defenseman, picked off, and out front it goes, and in the net it goes. So, you know, they worked for their breaks. But Winnipeg at times almost in the third period, especially the start of the third period, looked to me like they thought they had it in the bag. And, you know, you can't think that, not for a second. You've got to play the full 60 to get the 2 points. And maybe they let up a bit, but when they did, Leafs took advantage of it.
So, probably if I had to rephrase that, I would have said, so why didn't the Leafs have that effort at the start?
Well, I think, honestly, it was because of the physicality that Winnipeg was playing with. I thought Winnipeg took the game to Toronto. They weren't giving them the time and space, and when they did take away the time and space, they weren't letting them off the hook by curling away. They were finishing checks, you know, in every situation, the defensive zone, offensive zone, neutral zone. They were playing a heavier game than Toronto was, and I think that was the key early on, but obviously they started to wear down and the speed took over.
When we come back, Dave Poulin on the Leafs' ability to handle Austin Matthews' absence. 3-2, the Leafs win over the Jets. This is Leafs game night. TSN 1050, TSN1050.ca, the TSN and iHeartRadio apps, TSN 1150 Hamilton, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network. The Leafs with a massive third-period comeback win 3-2 over the visiting Winnipeg Jets. Leafs game night final segment from the Scotiabank Arena. The out time is 10:46. Next week, the Leafs Monday at home to Calgary. Thursday at home to Dallas, Saturday on to Pittsburgh. And obviously, Austin Matthews definitely won't play Monday. We don't know about the rest of the week. But just looking at the Calgary game, what did the Leafs run into there?
Well, I mean, Calgary lost in a shootout today at home, so you know they're a struggling team. There's something. Mike Smith isn't performing up to expectations, obviously, but the play, you know, the team play in front of them today was a little better. Watching the game against Washington, but for the most part, they're a team that I don't want to say in disarray, but they haven't figured out what they are yet, and I think they have a lot of work to do. And I think Leafs, you know, building off this win tonight and the comeback they had, have to start the game the same way they played the third period here tonight. And if they do that, they'll take it to Calgary.
Yeah, looking for the 60 minutes, right?
Absolutely. And we talk about it every night, Jim. And, you know, it's not a hard thing to do, play shift after shift the same way. You know, there's ebbs and flows to every hockey game, but you never change how you play. And right now, Leafs are up and down at times doing that. And they've got to put that – once they put that 60 minutes of 200-foot hockey together, they're going to be a very, very dangerous hockey club.
And Calgary with a new coach this year, that takes a little time, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you go from one organization that didn't have a whole lot of success to – another organization, and they're not off to a great start this year. So it will take a bit of an adjustment period. I don't know what they've changed systems-wise, but it comes down to each player performing. And obviously, Mike Smith, they wanted a lot from him. They depend on him highly as their number one, and he's been up and down as of late also. So there's a bunch of pieces that are out of the puzzle right now that need to be fit back in.
So Austin Matthews out for at least a game, and from SportsCenter, Laura Dykin in conversation with Dave Poulin on how the Leafs move forward.
Happy to have Dave Poulin with us now, talking all things Austin Matthews. And first things first, Dave, your initial thoughts there on that hit by Trouba.
A good, clean hit. And it was a very physical first period. In fact, at the end of the first period, there'd been some physical play. So coming out for the second period, you should have fully expected. And that is the high-rent district that Austin Matthews goes into. And, you know, as the game evolves and there's less and less hitting in it, there are still going to be areas that are going to be protected by defensemen. And as Austin Matthews comes into this area, it's almost that he's oblivious to Jacob Trouba coming across here. And he should fully expect, if he goes into that area, that, I mean, we always refer to it, Laura, as the high rent district. It's a hard area to go into, a very physical area to go into. It was a clean hit. It caught him in the right place, you know, and he took the worst of it.
So now we look forward. We know the Leafs played without him for 20 games last season. Not sure how long. He will be on the shelf this time with the injury. But obviously, they picked up some reinforcements in the offseason, most notably John Tavares. Do you think this team is better equipped now moving forward if this is a long-term injury to Matthews?
You're much better equipped, there's no question. The addition of Tavares, but also the versatility Mike Babcock has. And what he did there was he flipped Mitch Marner and Patrick Marleau back to Nazem Kadri. And that ignited them right away. And he felt that Tavares and Hyman were strong enough, and then he could slide Kapanen into that move. So just from that standpoint, much, much better suited, much more versatility. And you can see Marner was involved. But this was the end of the first period. Teams are going to play the Leafs more physical and make it more uncomfortable. And they had targeted specifically, it was actually Tavares that took more of the brunt early on. And then when Marner got back together with Kadri, right away, you know, they were so effective last year through the latter part of last year, and right away it was effective. A little bit of a good break there, the way Marner picked it up from a Dustin Byfuglien clear, but it just gives Mike Babcock so many more options. They're so much better suited to it.
So the natural response now is to talk about the forgotten man, as it were, William Nylander. Does this put any added pressure, potentially again, if this is a long-term injury for Austin Matthews, on management to get this contract situation resolved?
It is absolutely no different for me at all. You don't change a long-term plan for a short-term decision. And certainly the immediacy is December 1st, because if Willie Nylander's not signed by December 1st, he doesn't play this year. But this injury does not change the long-term picture at all for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Austin Matthews has dealt with a shoulder injury. He has a reference point, actually. When you deal with an injury, the one good thing is, okay, I've dealt with this before, I know how to deal with it. But this does not change the view, in my eyes, of what they do with Willie Nylander.
And what we do know from Mike Babcock is it's not the same shoulder that he separated and missed 10 games because of last season. And we will not see him on the ice when the Leafs take on the Flames on Monday night.
He was very candid there, by the way. Actually,
very
I was a little surprised by
Mike
that.
Babcock,
I really was.
Who knew?
So the Leafs win 3-2 here over the Winnipeg Jets. Just a quick thought on the way out, Gibby.
Well, they've got to prepare. They've got to regroup. They've got to find some chemistry with new line combinations for Monday night and bring their third period game from shift one for 60 minutes on Monday, and they're going to pot another 2 points.
So it was 2-0 Winnipeg after 40 minutes of play. Kadri scores at 6:33, 16:49 Gardner, 17:15 Kapanen scores, and the Leafs have themselves a victory and 2 points. Thanks for joining us on Leafs Game Night. TSN 1050, TSN 1050.ca, TSN and iHeartRadio apps, and the Toronto Maple Leaf Radio Network.